This is Honest Abe Lincoln, and I'd like to read to you from logs.
Good morning, Friday, March 6th. Episode 193 will forever be remembered as the episode in which was introduced the segment, The Suckiest Week. Whose suckiest week was this? New RNC Chairman Michael Steele. Suckiest week? First, he was made to apologize to Rush Limbaugh. And don't we all owe Rush an apology? We've all been pretty unfair to that psychopathic crybaby. Well, everybody but Michael Steele, who only called him incendiary, an entertainer, and ugly. All pretty above the belt, I thought. I think we should take our cue from the Bible, which says, let he who is not a woman-hating pillhead throw the first stone. And who among us truly can claim moral superiority? To Rush Limbaugh. He never said a harsh word or did anything to hurt anyone unless it was profitable or dictated by his libido or any one of his many, many disgusting appetites. Ever. So, Michael Steele, this is your suckiest week because now everybody's saying that Rush is top GOP dog. You couldn't even stay on the crow's nest of that sinking ship. You suck. But it wouldn't entitle you to the suckiest week unless it went downhill from there. Which it did. At CPAC this week, the Conservative Political Action Conference, Minnesota Rep. Michelle Bachmann rocked the microphone and told Steele, you be the man. You be the man. What was meant to be a harmless comment by a white woman to ingratiate herself with a black man popped out as clumsy, stilted, inauthentic, and condescending. Closer analysis reveals that the troublesome part of that sentence is the word be. You be the man. A simple you the man would easily have communicated her meaning safely, I feel, within the boundaries of our shared pop culture. You the man? Yeah, that would have been fine, but you be. You be the man is what pops it over into patronizing and wrong-headed faux ebonics. A literal translation is, you are the man. Webster's, by which I mean Wikipedia, describes the man as a slang phrase that refers to the government, leaders of large corporations, and other authority figures in general, colloquially defined as the figurative person who controls the world, a symbol of racial oppression, as well as the boss of a blue-collar worker and the enemy of any counterculture. The phrase, the man is keeping me down, is commonly used to describe perceived oppression. So when a white Republican politician from Minnesota calls you the man, what she actually means is, you have made it. We, the white ruling class plutocrats, welcome you as our duly elected traitor to your race. Thank you for extending your racial authenticity or street cred to our quest to access minorities and the young. We love you, Black Judas. Oh, what a sucky week. I'm sorry, Steele. I'm sorry. Still, thus ever to neocons. Steele himself told the Washington Times the strategy was a hip-hop makeover for Republicans. And yeah, it's right on schedule. Hey, be careful what you wish for. Episode 193 also marks a noticeable upswing in the quality of episodes because I finally got a coffee pot. I like my Judas like I like my coffee. President Obama... I don't even have it. Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure something happened. Okay, so President Obama, let's spitball here. What happened this week with President Obama? I didn't even have it. I just started off. Just got to keep it moving. This week, President Obama wrote a secret letter to Russia asking for cooperation on demilitarizing Iran. This week, President Obama released secret Bush memos, which claim dictatorial powers. This week, President Obama.
Obama?
Choice for Surgeon General. Sanjay Gupta. Dropped out the race. Went round the pub. He's out. He's out? Why? Who cares? Good riddance. I think it was a salary thing. But, you know, you never know. This week, Glenn Greenwald. Good guy, Glenn Greenwald. Wrote an insightful article about the Holt legislation to create an anthrax commission, a 9/11 commission style panel, but presumably with resources and disclosure, to investigate the 2001 anthrax attacks. Now I invoke the 9/11 commission, which former President Bush treated with the petulance of a child that does not want to be put down for a nap. You want to testify before that? No. I'll put him down. Do you want to go if Dick Cheney goes? Yes. I invoked the 9/11 Commission because reading this article, one would be inclined to think, had they not known the work of Glenn Greenwald, that he was some kind of, loathe the phrase, tinfoil hat-wearing conspiracy nut. But, no, he always came down against the notion of 9/11 being an inside job. So, you know. If you are of the same mind, perhaps that will lend his words some credence. If you disagree with Glenn, you know that he doesn't fly off half-cocked. Honorable men can differ. Greenwald talks about the anthrax attacks, characterizing them as a major political crime. A successful effort, aided by ABC News, to blame the attacks in the public's mind on Saddam Hussein, and characterizes the FBI assertion that it was a now-deceased U.S. Army research scientist, Bruce Ivins, and Ivins alone, who perpetrated the attack as being extremely unconvincing, riddled with glaring inconsistencies and numerous internal contradictions, enormous evidentiary holes, and pretenses of scientific certainty that are quite dubious. Greenwald wishes to understate the words of a Dr. Pearson, who said, "It appears increasingly likely that the only significant bioterrorism attack in history may have originated from right within the biodefense program of our own country. The implications for our understanding of the bioterrorism threat and for our entire biodefense strategy are potentially profound." So go read what Glenn has to say about this important legislation. Hyperlinks in the show notes. This has been Abraham Lincoln. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. Coming to you from the AbrahamLincolnLogs.com every Monday, every Friday, without fail. Hoping you have a very good day. Good day!